Yes, he is. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, you glad to be in the Lord's house today?
Amen.
That was a little bit feeble, a little feeble. Amen. You glad to be in the Lord's house today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Somebody got woke up. Ephesians chapter number one, your Bible. Ephesians chapter one. Share a message this morning. The Spirit of promise. The Spirit of promise. You and I, as we read through the Scriptures, God began, of course, when He was leading His people to the land of promise. And He told them about it. Land full of milk and honey. And so in their journey of faith, they set their sights upon the promise God had made and continued to march to that land by faith through struggles and pulls and deserts and droughts and enemies and oppressions. But it kept moving on. Because of the promise. Related to that, you and I today have the greater promise given to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. For all the promises are in Him. And I do rejoice today in the Lord Jesus and all that is promised to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's begin verse number 11. The Spirit of promise, verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You now for the precious Word of God. God, thank You for the miracle of it. Thank You for the power of it. Thank You, Lord, for the inspiration of it. We come, Lord, with complete confidence. We come with rejoicing, God, indeed, that we have the privilege this morning of opening and reading, Thus Saith the Lord. Father, help us now to give reverence and respect not only to the reading, but also to the hearing. For Lord, we know in these last days You have spoken to us through Your Son. And God, there's a great message You have for all today, and I pray that we might come with a heart's desire, Lord, not to go through a religious exercise, a formality, but we might have a desire to hear from heaven, hear the voice of God. For Lord, You desire for us to hear You, to know You. And the Lord, You desire for us to be with You in eternal fellowship. We thank You've made it possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for us. Would You help us now? Would You bless us by the power of the Holy Ghost? We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A very exciting chapter here in chapter number 1 as Paul is writing to the church by the Holy Ghost and shares the great revelation of truth about the believer. You and I are far more blessed than we realize, and not only to have life eternal, but our relationship with God and all the things that God has done to bring us this glorious salvation. And the Apostle Paul begins to reveal that, and he tells us here about our position in Christ. Look back at verse number 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You and I, listen, if we're in Christ today, you are blessed beyond your comprehension. You can't begin to measure how blessed you are today to be saved, to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, to be outside of Jesus Christ is to die in your sins. But to be in Christ is to have a standing with God in grace, such that God looks upon you and sees His Son, Jesus Christ. And He goes on to tell us, listen, our purpose is to the praise of His honor and glory, who first trusted Jesus. God is going to use your life as a testimony of praise unto Him. You know what? I came today to praise the Lord. I am saved. Praise His name, right? I have comfort and joy and strength and purpose all because of Him. And so I've come today to give Him praise, to worship Him, lift up my voice, in a spirit of thankfulness and worship and give praise and thanks unto God that He saved a sinner like me and that He's given me eternal life. Wash my sins away. Give me a home in heaven. That's something to shout about. Amen. I'm glad to be saved today. And then he goes on to relate our possession. What we have in Christ. Listen, our great possession. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, we've received a down payment in the Holy Ghost already, showing us God's true intent of His purpose. God's going to fulfill what He started. God's going to keep His promise. And to show you that, He gave you the first installment. You got saved. You know what He did? He put the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. I'll tell you what. If you have any desire to praise Him, you know why? Because the Holy Ghost is put inside of you. If you have any desire to walk in the way that pleases Him, a desire to serve Him, a desire to worship Him, a desire for things that are good and true and righteous, that didn't come out of you, it came out of Him. And He imparted to you and gave it to you and put it in you. And thank God, He put an appetite, a desire for things that are right and good and true and things that will bless my life and bless the lives of others. He put that in me. He's just showing you that I'm just getting started with you. I'm just getting started. I've already changed you, but I ain't done yet. Amen. He reached down and plucked a brand out of the burning. Sorry, no count, hell deserving, wretched individual soul. And listen, began the work of transformation. And you know what? You know why God, listen, can look upon you with acceptance? Because He sees you not as you are, but what you will be. God's able to see what you will be. I shared with you before, my dad had that carpenter's vision. He could look at the biggest pile of junk and see that thing completely restored. We bought a house one time in Georgia. That thing was pitiful. Had a fire. It was nasty. Bats in it. Listen, looked like it needed to be bulldozed. Dad walked up and he says, "Wow." Mom's home. "What?" They weren't looking at the same things. She saw a burnt down old shack that needed to be bulldozed. Dad saw that thing, the finished colonial mansion. He could see it. When God looks on you, listen, He don't see a burned out piece of trash. You know what He sees? He sees what He's going to finish. And He gave you the first installment of the promise. First installment is He sealed you with the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Ghost has begun that work, and He's not going to quit until He's finished you. And that's when it got started. It got started when you trusted Christ. After that, you believed the truth. You received the gospel of Christ. And at that moment then, He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of God and began that great work He's going to complete. And so, that's the first installment of God's promise. He meant what He said. He's going to do what He said. He's going to keep His promise. And to show you that, He gave you the Spirit of God. And so we see here, He reveals our position, our purpose, our possession, our power in Christ. Listen, He said in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which you wrought in Christ." Listen, God began to manifest His power in your life. For only God can make saints of sinners into saints. And listen, only God has that power to make us new and make us new creatures, to redeem our lives. That's the power of Christ. And listen, it is the power that He invests in you and giving you a testimony to others. So Paul is relating to them the great revelation of what we have in Christ. And then we find the Apostle Paul in our text here shows us our inspiration. Look at his prayer. Apostle Paul was praying for these people, praying for these believers. And he said in verse 16 that he ceased not to give thanks and making mention of them in prayers. And here was the subject, here was the burden of the prayer. This is what he prayed for. He prayed that these believers, he thanked that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Paul carried a burden for those believers. And this is what he prayed. "Lord, now that you've opened their eyes, I want them to know what is the hope of this calling of God. that God called you out of the world of darkness, that He called you out of the kingdom of the devil and set you in His kingdom and has given you a glorious presentation of all that He has promised to do in your life. And Paul prayed, Lord, help them to understand, to perceive the hope that's in this call. Let it catch hold of their life. That they have a hope that will inspire them. A hope that will enliven them. This hope we have in Jesus Christ. This hope we have in eternal salvation. This hope we have in His coming. This hope we have, in our heavenly home. This hope we have in being delivered from sin and from this body of corruption. This hope we have that's beyond and conquers the grave. He said, God, open their eyes, grab hold of their hearts, and show them what this hope is that we have in Christ. And then we have the revelation, Brother Charles. You writing this down? All right. We have the inspiration, the hope of the calling, and then the realization. You know what the realization is? The realization is the Holy Spirit now come to live in us. Woo! You know what He is? He's the one that stokes the fire of the hope. He enlivens that hope. He keeps that hope active, alive, moving, that, hey, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Your sins forgiven. You have eternal life. Listen, God is making you into His own dear children. He's making you the sons of God. He is making you into servants of the Most High. He is qualifying you, preparing you, to serve Him. There's coming the literal reign of Christ. And guess who makes up His cabinet? You and I. He's preparing us, to work in partnership in serving Him in the glorious kingdom. What a kingdom when Christ rules and reigns. And we get to be a part of that and a partner with Him in that glorious kingdom. And so we have this great revelation, the inspiration, the realization in the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all thinking, boy, He's given us 3 points, we're done. No, that was an additional message in the way of introduction, all right? So don't get too excited. The first two simple points today. First of all, the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we know, is the divine manifestation of the power of God. In Zechariah 4:6, it said, Then He answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Holy Spirit, we know, as we look through the Scriptures, we have record of the fact that He gave divine wisdom and knowledge. We think about King Solomon and others, how God blessed them with wisdom and knowledge, things that came directly from God. You and I understand there's the wisdom of the world, but one day God will show it foolishness. But there's a wisdom that comes from God that will be confirmed, that it was right, that it was true, and that it brought victory to us. The Bible said in Isaiah 11:2, And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Listen, thank God when the Holy Spirit of God was sealed up in the believer's heart, God, anointed him with a teacher that would guide and instruct him and guide him in all truth, and that would take the Scriptures and unfold them and unveil them such that you and I can begin to understand the great mysteries and the great revelation of God He's revealed unto us. Thank God. We have a teacher that guides us into truth. You see, the Holy Spirit of God has come in to guide and to lead us. Remember what the Bible says, the frustration of men, the motivation for modern translation, much of it, is men who do not have the Spirit trying to understand what God is saying. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, but they're foolish to him. Only by the Spirit of God does this book come alive and open up that we have understanding. And so many people have desecrated the Scriptures because they have tried to put it to a point of understanding on a human level without being saved and having the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit not only gave divine wisdom and knowledge, but we read through the Scriptures and we find the record that the Holy Spirit also revealed the future. We have a book filled of prophecies. We think about the things that Isaiah saw and things about Daniel that God began to reveal, the history of the world. He opened it up to Daniel and let him see all that would transpire in the future. And we're living in those days, and we fit right into that portion where Daniel had received about Gentile powers. And you know how that Daniel knew about Alexander the Great before history did? He knew, listen, of the great Greek empires, and he knew of the Roman empires, and he knew of all those things. God was unfolding him an historical picture of world powers and world kingdoms that would lead to the time when Christ Himself would come. And Daniel, just a lowly prophet, a captive young man in a foreign land, God unfolded all these mysteries by the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You realize what God has taught you? You think about your lost friends and neighbors and people around you who don't have a clue. And sometimes you look at them and think, what in the world? And you're reminded, they walk in darkness. Walk in darkness. Don't have a clue. And you can tell the blind lead the blind, and where do they end up? In the ditch. They try to find solution after solution after solution, and every time they make it worse. Make it worse. We have so many people today, listen, that have risen to the surface on how to help us, how to live, how to have marriages, how to families. How to explore the quality of life. Listen, we got more books. I mean, there are thousands of volumes upon volumes. There are videos. And listen, take a look around, and we're in worse shape than we've ever been. And it's getting worse by the day. You know why? Because they're reading everything except what God wrote. You see, God has given us, by the Holy Spirit, He has unfolded for us things unseen, unknown. The Holy Spirit brought miracle power to common men and tribes and nations. We read about great Samson. You remember the Bible tells us the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the cords that were on his arm became as flax that was burnt with fire. That means you almost just blow them. They had him held, but he was so strong. Why? The Spirit of God came upon him. Don't get me started. This is a stump for me, but I can't let it go. Do not see Samson as Atlas. They tried to find the mystery of his strength. Why? Because he was a common man. Okay? If he'd had muscles this big, they wouldn't have looked for the mystery. It'd been obvious. He wasn't a beastly man, you see. And don't think David was an expert rock thrower. Okay? It was God who made the rock land in the man's forehead. And it was God that gave supernatural strength to Samson. Listen, that he took those cords and they were absolutely nothing. That he slew 1,000 men. People are always trying to rob God of his glory and give it to man. And I have seen cartoon and illustrated pictures of Samson being, you know, this great bodybuilder figure. Listen, that is blasphemy to the Scriptures. The power of the Holy Spirit of God is what gave him that power. Not physical, not man's strength. It was God's strength. Matter of fact, what did God do to illustrate that? God chose the most unlikely instruments in the Scriptures to reveal that the power belonged to God. When they went looking for a king, what did they do? They took the little boy that was watching the sheep. They'd already tried the muscle-bound fella, head and shoulders above all the rest, named King Saul, and he was a coward and a failure. How about they went and got a little shepherd boy, even his daddy wouldn't consider, and God made him the king of Israel, and the mighty power rested upon him, such that the world stood amazed, and it was a worldwide empire under little David. Why? Because the power belongs to God. And you know what that means? That means God wants the glory. So you know what he's looking for? People like you. Now, I know Mama told you special. Okay, that's fine. I understand. But you're not near as talented and gifted as you probably think you are. And if you realize that, you're ripe for God's service. You know why? He wants you to know it's Him. And give Him the glory. Right? Give Him the glory. And so, listen, the Spirit of God, He arrested men's natures and even overcame evil intent. Oh, I love the story. When Saul was after David, wanted to kill him. Jealous and envy to eat the man alive. Why? Because David was what he's supposed to be and he wasn't. And he hated him for it. And listen, he sent those men. And guess what? David had gone to a spiritual camp meeting. I mean, they were having a camp meeting. They really were. You're reading the scripture. They're having a time. And those men came up to that place. And the two grip men, they're going to arrest it. We found out he's here. Buddy, we're going to take him. King Saul's going to reward us. Listen, we're going to have all kinds of possession. He's going to be so thankful. We're going to be moved up. And so they came here. And when they walked in that meeting, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit got hold of them. And you know what they did? They started preaching. They did. Read it. Happened to King Saul too. Matter of fact, King Saul came in the meeting, stripped down his clothes and started prophesying. And the report around the nation, is Saul among the prophets? You know what happened? The Holy Spirit of God met them at the door. And listen, just slayed their flesh. And next thing you know, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And listen, God took what they meant for evil, transformed it. And here they were preaching the truth out of their own mouth. God do it for out of a donkey. God do it out of a donkey. The Spirit of God. We find that the Spirit of God, the Scripture, is the power of holiness. The Bible said in Micah 3:8, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." The Spirit of God is the power of holiness. The Spirit of God, listen, is that which would bring redemption to Israel according to promise. You know what Israel? Israel had finally come to the place where they realized that every time this nation has got on the brink of fulfilling God's purposes, we fail. Corruption, idolatry came into the land. And soon the very purpose of God to using them as a testimony for His glory, as a testimony to the world. Now all of a sudden they became an abomination. Idolatry filled the land. Wickedness soon followed. God had to judge His people over and over and over and over again. You know what God said? God wasn't through with the nation of Israel. God was going to fulfill the purpose in their calling. How in the world could God do it? Here's the promise. Isaiah 59:20. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Ezekiel says, "And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Listen, the salvation of Israel and fulfillment of their promise was only found when God took the Spirit and put it inside them. And then God gave them a new heart and a new desire and gave them a power to walk with Him and serve Him and to fulfill His purpose in their life. What He did for Israel, He does for the believer. Preacher, how in the world? How in the world can a sinner, a man with a sinful nature, a man who's fallen and fallen and fallen, a man who confronts the law and is beaten down every time by his transgressions, what hope is there for him? There's one hope. And that is, upon receiving the Jesus Christ as Savior, God took and sealed the Holy Spirit inside of man and gave him a new heart. He became a new creature in Christ. The Holy Spirit of promise, my friend. He is the Spirit of holiness and He is the answer. This promise was confirmed by the Lord Jesus in John when He told them that He was going to leave and send them the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. That Spirit of truth would be placed in them and abide with them forever. And the Spirit would come and He'd begin His work of reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now let me give you point number two, and I'm trying to hurry. We see, first of all, here, the promise of the Spirit. But I want you to see in our text in Ephesians, the spirit of the promise. The spirit of the promise. We have the promise of the spirit, now the spirit of the promise. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find here that in the verse number 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In the context of how the Spirit is used here, it is not used in the sense of the Spirit that was promised to them. It's used in the manifestation of that Spirit as enlivening, exciting, and inspiring the promise. Now think about that with me. The Spirit of the promise. That is, that the promise we have in Christ would become alive. That it would become energized. That it would become vital. The Spirit of the promise. That it would begin to manifest itself, a great inward moving, a great power manifest, a great change would come upon our life because the promise became alive, it became vitalized, it came on fire within us and began to inspire and direct and to lead our life because the promise has exploded in my soul. That is the Holy Spirit of promise that's sealed in us. That bursting inside of my soul of reviving and refreshing is the reality of the promise I have in Christ. That is, we know in the Scriptures right here in this first chapter, that because of Christ, I've been forgiven. I have been, you have been in Christ, accepted. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He makes that a vital reality in your life. He wakes that thing up and it becomes real. You know what? I have been forgiven. I've been forgiven. All my transgressions. It only took one to condemn my soul to hell. But I've been forgiven for them all. They're all washed away. And I've been accepted in the Beloved, that I have acceptance with God, that God and I have a relationship together. I've been reconciled unto God. He looks upon me. I listen with delight and with love and fellowship. He loves me. I've been accepted. And the Holy Spirit of promise brings that and enlivens that in our soul. The Spirit of promise. I have life eternal. Brother Larry, I'm going to live forever. Huh? Brother Charles, I'm going to live forever. Hey! I'm going to live forever! The Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of that promise. He makes it alive. He makes it real. He makes it vital. My life's changed because of that. I don't live the same way anymore. Why? I'm going to live forever. That changes everything. I've been forgiven. I've been accepted. I'm going to live forever. I have God as my constant companion. He said He'd never leave. Isn't that His promise? He promised me He'd never leave me. Hey, God is always with me. That ever come alive? Ever become vital? Has it ever affected your life and how you live? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Spirit of promise. I have a place at His table. I have citizenship in His city. I'm a servant in His kingdom. Listen, that's a promise I have from Him. The Holy Spirit has brought that to life. The Spirit of the promise. There are many today who claim the relationship. But what I call this morning church zombies. You know what a church zombie is? They come, but they're the walking dead. Okay? Walking dead. You know what that means? The promise has never become vital and energized in their life. The fact that I'm forgiven, the fact that I'm accepted, the fact that I have eternal life, the fact, listen, that God will never leave me. Listen, you know what? Sometimes that comes along and the Holy Spirit just comes by and stirs that up. Huh? Stirs it up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes by Brother Cliff and reminds you what you used to be. And then you've been forgiven. And the Holy Spirit stirs that up. And sometimes, listen, life brings you down. And sometimes you wonder if you're going to make it. And then you remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. And sometimes the Holy Ghost comes by and stirs that thing up. Energizes it. He's the Spirit of the promise. And every promise we have from God, it's the Holy Spirit that enlivens that, energizes it, makes it alive and real, such that our life has been affected, such that our life's been inspired, our life has been changed because of the promise that God has made me. And it's the Holy Spirit that energizes those promises made to us. It's actively working, generating faith and hope. It's actively inspiring me to look for Him. And inspiring me to live for Him. It's actively convicting me of any worldliness and carnality in my life. No wonder the Apostle Paul had this burden. He said, Lord God, would you open the eyes of understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling. That hope might be energized because they'll never be the same. They'll never be the same. If the hope we have in Christ gets a hold of them and comes alive, they will never be the same. Thank God. Listen, I have been changed. I trust today that is your testimony. I've been changed. Why? Because God has filled me with hope in His promises. And those promises, listen, are not simply words on a page. But they have become alive and real in my soul. And thank God the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and stirs that up and keeps that fire burning and keeps me inspired and looking up with hope and gives me consolation and confirmation that God will bring to pass everything He's ever promised me. He will do. And listen, you got the first installment when He gave you the Holy Ghost of God. For the Holy Spirit keeps it alive. Just like a man who makes a transaction and he makes a purchase. And he said, listen, I'll buy that thing from you. And as a show of good faith, I'm going to give you 25% down. And so, well, that'd be good. And so, listen, perhaps in that transaction, now listen, this 25% is not refundable. Is that fair enough? Fine. I'm committed. I'll keep my word. Okay. So you know what? I don't see him for a day or two or a week or two. You know what? Sometime I get to feeling well. Maybe it'll work. But you know what I do? I go back and look again. The man gave me 25% down. He must have meant business. He must have meant business. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to keep His promise. The first installment is that you were sealed with the Holy Ghost. You know what that is? That's non-refundable. You were sealed with it. You were sealed with it. Until the day of redemption, the Bible says. Until the day of redemption. That's the finished transaction. You are sealed with the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God came from heaven. The Spirit of God is going back with Him. And when He goes back, you're going with Him. Because you are sealed with the Spirit of God. Is the hope alive? Is it alive? Is it vital? Is it inspiring? Is it convicting? Well, listen, that's what the Holy Ghost does. You see, God gave the believer a witness of his conversion. That witness is the Holy Spirit. That God came in and God is doing things in my life. I know it. God talks to me. God convicts me. God leads me. God guides me. God teaches me. Listen, that is the witness of the Spirit. My concern is there's somebody here today who makes a profession of faith in Christ, but there's no witness of the Spirit. There was no power came in your life that altered you at all. You're the same person you used to be. Just religious. But God will save. God will redeem. God will change a man when he comes to Christ. Amen. Maybe that's your need today. Listen, maybe here today, preacher, I am saved. I know it. I know it. I have the witness of the Spirit of God. It's a whole other message, so I won't preach it. But it is possible, the Bible says, for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit's trying to bring some stuff to life. But there's stuff keep trying to put the fire out. Keep trying to put the fire out. I don't know what that might be. But if you desire to hear from God, He'll show you what it is. Keeps the fire from really burning brightly.